Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In some ways, we have romanticized this story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. If we sing the hymn that we opened with this morning, suggesting that it was a parade-like atmosphere with the cries of the children leading the way, crying and waving. Hey, you know, we don't need palm trees. We all have palms on our hands. So we all could be waving our hands in the air as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And when we hear the word Hosanna, we say to ourselves, oh yeah, that's a word that calls us to celebration. It reminds us that Jesus is coming in triumphant to Jerusalem. Except when we translate Hosanna, it means save us. Lord, save us. So maybe it's not so much a cry of celebration, but a cry of desperation. A cry of the people saying, "You are the one for whom we have waited so long, and we're so glad you're here." Except in the back of their minds, they might be wondering, why is he riding on a borrowed donkey? People who are here to win come in on horses and they bring armies. Similar to what was happening on the other side at another gate in Jerusalem, possibly even at the same time, when Pilate was riding in with his regiment to make sure that the Romans were represented and holding down any kind of insurrection that might happen during the Passover. You remember, the Passover was a time where they celebrated their escape from the Egyptians. It wasn't an overthrow of the Egyptians. They got to just up and leave when the Egyptians were defeated by that moment when the eldest of every clan and person and being died. They were so stunned, Pharaoh allowed Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into a new life. That's what the Passover reminds the people of, a time when they won over the dominating power. And so Pilate and the leaders of the Roman Empire were familiar with the history. And here's everyone coming into Jerusalem, and they can't let all these Israelites and Hebrew people be together, figuring out how they might overthrow the empire without showing some force. So on the other side of town, at the time when Jesus is coming into town and the people are celebrating and kind of dancing in the streets and calling out to him for them, for him to save them, expecting some amazing show of force, Pilate is over here with a regiment coming into town with a show of force. In that time, it was common to expect everyone to stop what they were doing and observe the force as it rode through town. But Jesus kept on coming through over here, through the gate, and the people were celebrating and dancing and calling out to him, expecting an amazing thing. Save us. Jesus, save us. Save us. With the ability of hindsight, we know things didn't go the way the people expected who greeted him that day. I was traveling on this past Thursday visiting my mother and sister in Pittsburgh. We were busy catching up. My mom was playing a recital that evening on piano, and so it was nearly midnight when I looked at my phone to see what had been going on in the world, and I saw that the United States had decided it was the right time to bomb this airfield in Syria. And my heart sank, and I thought to myself, here we go again. Will we ever learn? And I wondered how we had gotten from where we were the day before to this level of violence, seemingly out of the blue, in such a short period of time. And I thought of the families on the ground who may have been crying out, save us. Now, they weren't just saying, save us from the bombs that were dropped by our country. They were saying, save us from the 6-year civil war that had been going on around them. They were saying, save us from the heinous acts of their own government destroying their lives and their livelihoods and the use of horrible chemical weapons. They were saying, save us. And I thought to myself, how does dropping bombs save anyone? I don't know the answers to the divisions among peoples around the world. We fight wars for all kinds of reasons. We fight wars for power. We fight wars over personality. We fight wars over water and over land, over the loss of hope, over longing for something different. Sometimes we fight wars because of what we believe God is calling us to do. We fight wars to show our power, to prove that we're stronger than the other people. But as I grow older, and the more I read the words of Jesus, the more I believe that we have to find other ways to solve our differences. The more I believe we are wrong when we go to war. But we read this story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And we see this act of civil disobedience that he was carrying out with the people along with him that day. He and that ragtag group of people were entering one gate while Pilate and the others were entering across town, showing force and power to everyone who would see. Now, Jesus didn't rely on social media. We didn't have Facebook or Twitter, but you can be sure people were whispering and telling the story of what they had seen. And the news of his entry made it across town just as fast as it would have today. And there were people telling Pilate, "Can you believe what happened over there?" And Pilate heard about Jesus coming in through another gate and having people around celebrating his journey. And that's where the seed was planted for the things that happened later in the week. They were already nervous about some kind of insurrection, and Pilate was there to put down whoever would stand up and try to show the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, that there was hope in their future. It was an act of sedition, rabble-rousing, subversion, troublemaking. Sedition means to encourage people to rebel against the authority of the state. And though Jesus may not have been encouraging the people, I suspect the disciples were. And he was showing them something different than the power that Pilate was wielding over them. Jesus didn't engage in that as a celebration of who he was or of what he was doing. He was throwing down the gauntlet, telling the people there was a new way to understand God, who God was, and what God's power was. But it was a risk that he took. It was a risk he was taking, and he knew how it would end. But he was showing them a new way. As Christians in the 21st century living here in the United States, we don't really have a sense of what it means to live under an occupying force. We don't know what it is like to live with totalitarian rule. Most of us don't face regular discrimination in our lives. Most of us don't have to teach our children, really, actually, our boys, how to be safe when they are stopped, not if, but when they are stopped by the police. When we are unhappy with the world around us, how things are going in our communities, our lack of work or the lack of work for other people in our communities, when we're unhappy with our living situation or how things are going, we have recourse. We can elect people. We can run for office ourselves. We can write to our elected officials and tell them how we feel about how things are going. We don't fear being threatened by taking any of these actions. And while we might be unhappy with how things are, we know too that things will change, that we can affect how things are going, that we have a sense of power in this, our communities, and we don't have to worry about the threats that so many live with around the world. We can expect that we are safe, that our own government will not attack us, even when we attend a rally to protest some of the actions our government may take on our behalf. As I followed the story of the bombing in Syria, the U.S. bombing in Syria the other day, I learned that the media thought that it was a great thing, that the reporters were going on and on about how presidential President Trump looked by ordering this bombing and how it made it so that we were stronger in the world. And I was reminded that our country and countries around the world love the distraction of war. When we show force, we feel strong and effective and invincible, and we don't have to consider all of the other choices that we could have made. We don't have to consider the harm that we cause. We don't have to think about the people who still suffer. We don't have to think about how our borders might be closed to people who are on the run. We don't think about the people who risk everything to get away from the bombs that fall from the sky. Jesus came into Jerusalem to stir people up. Not to stir people up to violence, but to stir people up with love, with risk, with laying it on the line. I certainly don't know the answer to the conflicts around the world. However, as one who is committed to following Jesus, I know that we have to find ways to take great personal risk to be faithful. We might even have to take risks like speaking out against our government. We might have to take risks like inviting others and encouraging others to stand up for what we know is the way of love. Jesus walked through the smaller gate into Jerusalem. He set his face toward certain persecution and death. He knew what he was doing. And yet he chose the way of peace. He chose the way of peace. And there is strength in that. Not a strength that we normally recognize, not a strength that everyone around us recognizes immediately, not a strength that would be celebrated by news commentators. But it is a strength, that work of peace. And Jesus calls us to follow along and to celebrate and to be workers for the kingdom of peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.